الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الحمد لله
الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فاطمة بضعة مني من أغضبها فقد أغضبني وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في حديث قدسي يا أحمد لولاك لما خلقت الأفلاك ولولا علي لما خلقتك ولولا فاطمة لما خلقتكما صلوات We pay our ta'ziyat and condolences to the Imam of our time, Waliyul Asr, Sahib al-Zaman, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi, alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. As we are commemorating the shahadat of his great-grandmother, the mother who is the most superior of all the ladies of paradise. Because when someone asked the Holy Prophet about Virgin Mary, Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, Prophet replied, "Kanat sayyidata nisa'i alamiha." That means Maryam, she was the leader of the women of her time. Amma ibnati Fatima, as far as my daughter Fatima is concerned, fahiya sayyidatu nisa'il alameen minal awwaleena wal akhireen. My daughter Fatima is the leader of all the women of all times, from the earlier generations and the later generations. So Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is someone who is part of the hadaf and purpose of the khilqat and creation of the universe. Because we learn in the light of the hadith al-Qudsi, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, which is narrated by Muhaddis, Shaykh al-Muhaddisin, Shaykh Abbas al-Qummi, rahmatullahi alayh, in his famous book, Safinatun Bihar. There he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, see, all those ahadith, all the conversations that took place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved messenger, which are not part of the Holy Quran, All those conversations are called as Hadithun Qudsi. Any conversation that took place between Allah and His Messenger, which are not part of the Holy Quran. If it was part of Quran, then basically it would be an ayat of Quran, it would be a mu'jiza and miracle, and we humans and the jinns are unable to bring any parallel of the Holy Quran. So the conversations which are other than the Holy Quran are not a mu'jiza. They're not part of Quran. So we call them in Ilm al-Hadith, we call them as Hadithun Qudsi in the science of Islamic narrations and traditions. So in the Hadithun Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to His Prophet, Ya Ahmad. We know that the name of the Holy Prophet in the heavens is Ahmad, and the name of our Prophet on earth is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Ahmad, O Ahmad, لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ. If you were not there, I would not have created the aflak. In the light of this hadith, we understand the whole universe is created to be subservient under the command of the commander-in-chief of the universe, who is appointed by Allah, who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet is calling the shots. He is the head. He is the commander-in-chief of the universe. Everything, every particle of the universe is under his command. Everything reports back to him. He has the al-walayatu al-takwiniya al-mutlaqa, the absolute walayat and governance and authority and control over the universe. Walayat means hukumat. Like we say, walayatul faqih means the government of faqih. So Prophet has the governance of the whole universe. Everything is under his command. So if Prophet was not there, nothing of the universe would have been created. Everything is here for his sake, to serve him as the commander, to obey him, to be subservient towards him. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ لَا عَلِيٌّ لَمَا خَلَقْتُكَ. If Ali was not there, I would not have created you. So we understand, obviously, that if the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam was not there to be present after the Holy Prophet, there is no reason whatsoever for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the greatest messenger in the history of humanity with the greatest risalat that he has, which is Ar-Risalatul Kubra, the biggest message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed by the biggest messenger. Because if this risalat and message is not there to be continued after the shahadat of Rasulullah, then if the message is bound to end after the shahadat, and the walayat of Imam Ali is not there to continue the message of the Prophet with the same force without being the Prophet, then there is no use to send this messenger. Allah is sending His final message to survive forever. He's not sending to end after the shahadat of His messenger. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's walayat is the guarantee that the risalat and message of the seal of all the messengers will continue with the same force and capacity, just like the Prophet propagated the message of Allah. So if Imam Ali alayhi salam was, it makes perfect sense. If Imam Ali alayhi salam was not there, there is no purpose, there doesn't make any sense why to send down a messenger whose message is about to end after his death. So Allah would not have created the Holy Prophet if Imam Ali alayhi salam was not there. So walayat of Imam Ali is the guarantee for the survival of the risalat of Rasulullah with the same strength. Alhamdulillah on that. Our scholars say that the walayat of Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam is precisely, if someone asks you the question, which is the biggest blessing of Allah? We humans are unable to count Allah's blessings. In ta'uddu, Quran says, in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. If you count the blessing of Allah, you will not encompass it. We cannot encompass, we cannot engulf, we cannot count, we cannot, hold the whole. We cannot find every ni'mat of Allah. We cannot even imagine all the ni'mats. is beyond the reach and capacity of the human to engulf. So, among the blessings of Allah, the biggest of His blessings is what our scholars say, An-Ni'matul Uzma. Biggest blessing of Allah. There's no blessing that can parallel in the highness to that blessing. And that is nothing but the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhim as-salam. That's the biggest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all the blessings, including this one. So, and then Allah said to His beloved messenger, وَلَوْلَا فَاطِمَا لَمَا خَلَقْتُكُمَا. If Fatima was not there, I would not have created both of you. Look at the greatness of this lady. It's unfathomable for human minds. It's immeasurable for our imaginations to understand and digest and fathom and to measure the azamat of this lady. How in the world can we, people like me, sinners, who can, how in the world can we imagine when Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam says, لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَزَوَّجَهَا لَمَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفْوٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ آدَمْ فَمَنْ دُونَهُ. That's the Mazmoon al-Riwaya. Look at the greatness of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. Our sixth Imam says, if it was not for Amir al-Mu'mineen, had not Imam Ali married her, مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفٌّ. There was no parallel for Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha till the day of judgment, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. From Prophet Adam till the last human on earth, no human can parallel the azamat and greatness of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha to marry her. In other words, we know in Islam, marriage is always taking place between the kufu. In Arabic we say kufu, in Farsi we say hamta. In English, we say the parallels. Those who are spiritual counterparts and spiritually parallel to your spirituality. Al-mu'minuna ba'dhuhum akfa'u ba'dh. Some of the mu'mins are parallel spiritually towards some others. Marriages in Islam as a concept always takes place between spiritual parallels. If somebody is not your spiritual parallel, then obviously that's not a suitable marriage in Islam. So, for Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha to marry somebody, there is no single human being in the entire humankind who can parallel her azamat and spirituality other than Imam Ali alayhi salam. And if it was not for him to marry, she would not have found any spiritual parallel or counterpart or kufu for her marriage. This hadith itself is enough to understand that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is similar to Imam Ali alayhi salam in every aspect of her ruhaniyat and spirituality. Obviously, Imam Ali alayhi salam is afdal than her. She used to call Imam Ali as Ya Amir al-Mu'mini. Oh, the leader of all the faithful. Imam Ali is even Amir and commander for her. She is under the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So everyone is under the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, but obviously, in terms of her ruhaniyat, being the madhar and reflection of all the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the asma, the sifatul jalali wal jamal, the names of majesty and the names of beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find there is no difference between Hazrat Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Just like Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is reflecting Allah in all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similarly Imam Ali alayhi salam's ruhaniyat is reflecting Allah in all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what makes us to realize that we humans are unable to understand her azamat and her greatness. We find that there are, if the 11 Imams, which it makes sense, if 11 Imams were not to come from Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha to continue the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam,
which is in itself an imtidad, an extension of the nubuwwat of Rasulullah. That's what our ulama of Ilmul Kalam say, the scholars of our Shia belief system, mutakallimeen. That's what the mutakallimeen say. The concept of imamat of Ahlul Bayt is imtidadun nubuwa, is an extension of the concept of nubuwwat in Islam. Imam Ali Rasulullah performs the same job of Rasulullah without being the prophet.
So the Risalat continues because his message is surviving through the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So if the 11 Imams were not there to come from Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, she is the mother of 11 Imams, 11 commanders-in-chief of the universe. If these 11 A'imma alayhimu salam were not there to come, so their walayat can continue the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is continuing the message of Rasulullah,
then there was no use for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send Imam Ali alayhi salam or to send Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if their message is supposed to end after them. So it's because of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam continued with the same strength and quwwat and force after the shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam through the children of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So Hazrat Zahra is the continuation of the Risalat of Rasulullah.
So we find that this greatest lady has been given 9 names. Because the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, لِفَاطِمَةَ تِسْعَةُ أَسْمَاءِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Fatima has 9 names in the eyes of Allah. And then Imam alayhi salam starts to count those 9 names of Hazrat Zahra. He says, Fatima, والصديقه والمباركه والطاهره والزكيه والراضيه والمرضيه والمحدثه والزهراء. These are the 9 names that our 6th Imam is informing us. So all these 9 names are obviously so great in their meanings. But I would like to mention a little bit of the description of the first and the most famous name, which is Fatima. So everyone realizes the importance that how great blessing, what a great blessing of Allah is that He awards us the love of Hazrat Zahra in our qalb. So we value the hubb and muhabbat of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, and we cherish about this great value of Islam. So we never compromise over this value because we realize its greatness. So we find that Fatima in Arabic is derived from the Arabic word of Fatama, which means to separate. Fatim and Fatima means the separator. So we have several hadiths from our 6th Imam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Talking about the reasoning behind that, in one of the hadiths, our Imam says, "Innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'annaha Fatimat al-Shar." The only reason why Fatima is named Fatima is because she has separated the evil. So we understand that the evil, every kind of evil and shar, is separated by Allah. Allah has separated every evil away from her. The second reason why she is called Fatima, in the hadith of our 6th Imam, he says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّهَا فُطِمَتْ مِنَ التَّمْثِ. Our 6th Imam says the reason why Fatima is called Fatima because she is separated from the period. Obviously, she is Tahira and Zakiyah and so there is no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow any najasat to come close to her. So they don't have the period. She doesn't have it. Innama summiyat, the third hadith, what our 6th Imam informs us about the reason why we call her Fatima. Innama summiyat Fatimatu Fatimata li'annaha futimat anil khalq. The third reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because she has been separated from the creatures, from the khalq. So no creature can come close to her in her azamat and greatness. No one can
can be a parallel to her. None of the creatures can even come close to her azamat and greatness. Khalq and creatures are kept separate. She's alone in her status.
So the next reason which Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam informs us in the hadith, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّ الْخَلْقَ فُطِمُوا عَنْ كُنْهِ مَعْرِفَتِهَا.
The reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because the creatures are فُطِمُوا, they have been separated, عَنْ كُنْهِ مَعْرِفَتِهَا, having the in-depth, complete ma'rifat, and in Farsi we say shanakht. In Arabic we say ma'rifa. In English we say the in-depth recognition. The creatures of Allah are separated from having the in-depth and complete recognition of the personality of the Zahra. So no one is entitled and no one is capable to understand the greatness of her personality, recognize her personality.
Recognize her. So the next hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam talking about the reason of the naming of Fatima, he says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّهَا فَطَمَتْ شِيَعَتَهَا مِنَ النَّارِ
عَنِ النَّارِ. The reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because she has separated her followers from the fire. So anyone who is quote unquote called a follower of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, she has separated this follower away from the hellfire. There is no way hellfire can come close to the follower of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. That's why she is called Fatima.
So now the next hadith and probably the last one in this regard, here from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ فَاطِمَةُ فَاطِمَةَ لِأَنَّ أَعْدَاءَهَا
فُطِمُوا عَنْ حُبِّهَا.
There's another beautiful aspect which our Imam alayhi salam is mentioning. The reason why Fatima is called Fatima, because her enemies are separated from her love. Wow, this is so great. The enemies can never love her. This is so nice.
They don't deserve to love her. Isn't that right? Because they already showed their animosity and bughl towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and their disobedience and their rebellion against the Awliya and the Mawla and the masters that Allah made for the universe. These enemies showed their rebellion against their masters. They deserve to get this kind of behavior, because the love of Hazrat Zahra is the key to success. So didn't we find in the hadith of the Prophet when he was talking to Salman al-Farisi rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, Prophet said to Salman
sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, please recite salawat. Prophet is saying to Salman al-Farisi, and there's no surprise, nothing to be surprised that the greatest hadith in terms of their contents are the ones which are narrated from the greatest companions. It makes perfect sense. And that's one of the reasons why we in Ilm al-Rijal, in the knowledge of narrators, always search for the who is the narrator of the hadith and what's the chain of narrators. And we have all those 33, 34 types of narrations in Islam. And we authenticate only 3 or 4 types, and we remove all the rest, keep all the rest aside. So we have a very elaborate knowledge of Ilm al-Rijal. Isn't it right? All those 18,730 something narrators in the history of Islam, which have been, every single person have been registered in our history by the great scholars of the illuminous history of Shia religion. Alhamdulillah for their sacrifices and services. So we find, because knowing about the narrator is very important and instrumental before we get to the contents, because Prophet has already said, Inna ma'ashir al-anbiya umirna an nukallim al-nas ala qadri uqulihim. We, the group of mass prophets, we have been commanded by Allah to talk to people according to their mental levels. So Prophet always used to talk to people according to their respective mental level. So we need to understand who was the mukhatab and audience before we understand the greatness of the contents of the text and the statement which is said.
So if they are talking to Salman al-Farisi,
it makes sense that the contents is now something really high because the mukhatab is so high.
Salman minna ahl al-bayt, isn't it right? Prophet was there and Salman Farsi was also there, and one of the famous ashab enters into the gathering of Rasulullah and Prophet becomes silent. He stopped talking about what he was saying earlier. And this companion said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, tell us something about what you were telling Salman. And Prophet said, honey is harmful for newborn babies. He didn't say a single word to that companion. Isn't it right? So it's very important to discover who is the narrator of the hadith before we can end up giving the value to the contents. So Salman Farsi belongs to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So there is no hijab between them and Rasulullah. He had special sessions with Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Special sessions with Rasulullah to discover the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. The high-level teachings.
So look at what the Prophet said to Salman. All the great ahadith are narrated by the greatest companions.
And great ahadith in terms of the contents and muhtawa.
Prophet said to Salman, Ya Salman, Man ahabba Fatima, please pay attention. Man ahabba Fatimata ibnati, fahuwa fil jannati ma'ayya.
Oh Salman,
we were talking about the love of Hazrat Fatima and how great a value it is among the values of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
So Prophet says to Salman, Oh Salman,
Hubbo man ahabba Fatimata ibnati, whoever loves Fatima, my daughter, he will be in the paradise with me. So this is a guarantee that if a person dies with the muhabbat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha,
there's a guarantee of Rasulullah that he is going to be with the Holy Prophet inside the paradise.
And then Prophet said, وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهَا
فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. Whoever hates her, whoever has buzz, animosity towards her, he will be in the hell.
So then Prophet said to Salman, Ya Salman, حُبُّ فَاطِمَةَ يَنْفَعُ فِي مِئَةِ مَوْتٍ.
Love of Fatima helps at 100 places. What are those 100 places where the love of Fatima is going to benefit us?
We find the Prophet says, أَيْسَرُ تِلْكَ الْمَوَاطِنِ.
The easiest of those places,
that means easiest of those 100 places where the love of Hazrat Zahra is going to help us, help a mu'min, is al-maut, at the time of death. When the angel of death is coming, when the soul is being taken out, this is where we will end up understanding the value of why my dad, my mom was asking me to love Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha,
to love Imam Ali alayhi salam. At the time when the soul is taken out, we will end up discovering the importance and value of this love, because it's going to help me at this time.
This is the factor which is going to help.
Wal qabr, and in the grave, when we are laid into the graves, that's where the love of Fatima alayhi salam is going to help us.
And then the Prophet said, Wal mizan, when the yardstick, the scale, the mizan, tarazu, is going to be established on the Day of Judgment. At that occasion, which we find the love of Fatima is going to help. Obviously, the mizan and scale is not a physical scale on the Day of Judgment. There is no physical scale that will be placed somewhere. No, but what the mizan is what is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Anta mizanul amal.
You are the mizan of the actions. So we understand that all the actions of the entire humanity from the earlier and later generations, including the prophets, will be presented to the concept and obedience to the concept of the walayat of Imam Ali. How did this human behave towards the concept of the walayat and governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam and obedience towards this concept? Based on this, our actions will be judged. What is the value of my prayers? What's the value of my fasting? What's the value of my Hajj, my charities, everything and anything? My belief in Tawheed is under question mark if I don't believe in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Nothing is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we first things first, unless we behave well towards the representative of God, the Wali and Mawla appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Holy Prophet,
Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. So then the Prophet said to Salman, Wal Mahshar, that means in the place or the day of resurrection, that's where the love of Zahra is going to help. Was Sirat, the bridge of Sirat. When we are crossing over the bridge of Sirat, that's where we will value the love of Zahra helping us. Wal Muhasaba, at the time of accountability. So we will be held accountable. Islam says, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Isn't it right? Prophet has said in his hadith, hold yourself accountable before you are held accountable. Isn't it right? That's the best way of holding ourselves. If you have your self-audit, isn't it right? In our society where we are, me and you are living here in America, and there here is, if you're doing the self-audit, you're very much at peace, because you know if the IRS comes after you and they audit you, you're already clear. You have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about, because you already did the self-audit. Everything is already, you know, transparent. So Islam says the similar concept, we need to hold ourselves accountable on daily basis, because Imam Rida alayhi salam says, Laysa minna man lam yuhasib nafsahu fi kulli yawm. Someone who doesn't hold himself accountable on daily basis, on every day, is not one of us. When Imam Rida alayhi salam says he's not one of us, we can understand he's not considered to be a Shia of Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? So one of the signs of a Shia is that he must hold himself accountable on daily basis. Before I go to sleep, I must hold myself accountable. Is there anything haram that I perform today which displeases the commander of mine, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam? So then the Prophet said, فَمَنْ رَضِيَتْ عَنْهُ إِبْنَتِي فَاطِمَةِ رَضِيتُ عَنْهُ وَمَنْ رَضِيتُ عَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Whomsoever my daughter Fatima is radhi and pleased with, I am radhi and pleased with him. And whomsoever I am pleased with him, Allah is pleased with him. And then he says, وَمَنْ غَضَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ غَضَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَاطِمَا غَضِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ غَضِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ.
Whomsoever Fatima is angry upon, I am angry upon him. And whomsoever I am angry upon him, Allah is angry upon him. Now my question to you and your conscience, respectable brothers and sisters, how can this happen that a human is such high that whatever she likes, Allah likes the same. Whatever she dislikes, Allah dislikes the same. So if she's pleased with something or someone, Allah is pleased with that person. If she's displeased with somebody, Allah is also displeased with the same person. How can this happen? This can only happen, brothers and sisters, if a person is reflecting Allah in all the names that Allah has. Unless and until Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, because she is the madhar and reflection of every name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the reason why her anger is the anger of Allah and her pleasure is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because she never becomes angry on anything except for what Allah becomes angry upon. And she is never pleased over anyone or anything except what Allah is pleased upon. Their mashiyat and will and consent is entirely depending on the mashiyat and will and consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what gives value to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. See, when we talk about the greatness of Ahlul Bayt, the greatness of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, it is not an emotional thing. Some of the people in our community may think that it's an emotional thing. There is no room for emotions in Islam. In Islam, we don't believe in emotions. Everything of our religion is based on concrete evidences, unshakable barahin and evidences. The azamat of Hazrat Zahra that we are talking about is not an emotional thing. It's a concrete, based on concrete evidences. This nuraniyat doesn't come easy. The nuraniyat that she has, that if she sends her chadar, you know, to the Yahudi guy in Medina, the chadar which was already torn, it was worn chadar, She sends the worn and torn chadar to as a rehen and to the house of that rich guy in Yahudi in Medina. And look at the nuraniyat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. When her chadar is placed in the room and the Yahudi guy, his wife, and they both come and they see the noor coming out of that chadar. And they are so much in shock of that they realize that this has to be a waliyatullah. This has to be a person who is a close servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the chadar of Hazrat Zahra is enough to show this kind of miracle to convert a Yahudi and his entire family into the religion Islam. Please say salawat.
When Salman Farsi meets with a poor person in Medina, and he thinks to himself, Salman Farsi himself was a poor person. All the followers, I was just talking to the youth a while ago, that all the followers of all the prophets of God were poor. Isn't it right? And Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh used to say that tamam kasani ke be Islam o Muslimin khidmat kardeyand, zindagi saade dashteyand. All the people who did some service for Islam and the Muslims, all of them had simple lifestyle. All the supporters of the prophets of God were simple. All the supporters of Ahlul Bayt were simple and poor people. Even Hazrat Khadija gave the whole money to the prophet. Her lifestyle remained simple, like a poor person.
She didn't have a lavish lifestyle just because she made a lot of money. Not at all. Her lifestyle was a very simple one. So we find Salman himself was a very poor person. All the followers of Ahlul Bayt were poor. And that's what the mushrikeen of Makkah used to say to the Prophet. You want us to become Muslims? So we end up hanging around with these people like Salman and Abu Dharr and Middad and all those poor guys. So we end up sitting with them. Is that what you want?
And look at what Allah reveals the verse of Holy Quran. وَلَا
تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاوَةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand in the light of the verse, Allah is commanding His Prophet not to repel those people. Allah is commanding His Prophet not to repel those people who call upon their Lord in the morning and the evening.
So we find that Allah has a lot of respect for those great companions of the Holy Prophet. So we find Salman was a poor person. He meets with a miskeen, destitute person in Medina. He didn't have money to pay him for any food.
But he thought to himself, let me knock the door of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha.
That's the best house where no one is rejected from that house.
Every hajat is fulfilled from that door. Salman knocked the door of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, and she replies back, Ya Salman, inna lana salasan ma ta'imna. It's 3 days that we haven't eaten food.
Inna al-Hasana wal-Husayn ightaraba. Hasan and Husayn were mustarib, so anxious. They were anxious because of the shiddat al-ju', because of the extreme hunger. They just slept. In other words,
so Hazrat Zahra had no food to provide to her children, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussain, and these children slept hungry. And she says, there is 3 days we haven't eaten food. We are talking about the nuraniyat of Hazrat Zahra. There's nothing emotional in the Shia religion. When we talk about the greatness of Hazrat Zahra, it is not emotional. There are reasons why we are talking about her azamat and nuraniyat. And our youth, our children, our elders must realize that reasons of the greatness and nuraniyat of Hazrat Zahra and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
So she said, it's 3 days that we haven't eaten food. Hassan and Hussain went to sleep. They were anxious because of the
shiddat and intensity of the hunger. But she then says, لَكِنْ لَا أَرُدُّ الْخَيْرِ إِذَا نَزَلَ الْخَيْرُ بَابِي. But I am not going to reject the khair and goodness when khair and goodness comes to my door. Look at the perspective of Ahlul Bayt. From what angle they look at the things. This is a khair and goodness that a miskeen is coming to your door. You're supposed to repel. Prophet has already said in his hadith, لَوْلَا أَنَّ الْمَسَاكِينَ يَكْذِبُونَ. Had it not been because some of the miskeen people are lying, in other words, مَا أَفْلَحَ مَنْ رَدَّهُمْ. Had it not been for because of the some miskeen and destitute people are lying out there, no one who rejects them would have been successful on the Day of Judgment.
In other words, so we have no license to reject in Islam. We are not supposed to reject the poor people who are asking for help, poor mu'mins. So Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha considers this to be khair,
and she doesn't have no food, but she is not ready to reject the khair and goodness. It's the goodness coming on Allah's behalf to her door that a miskeen is asking for help. Now what can she do? She doesn't have the food, she doesn't have the money.
She gives her cloth to Salman.
See, when there's a will, there's a way. And that's the sign of a mu'min. A mu'min never ends, never stops giving away. Our infaq, giving away, never stops. That's what Farazdaq has said in his beautiful poetry that he mentioned in the praise of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in front of the Tahut of his time. In the Shair, Farazdaq has said that Siyane dhalika in asiru wa in ademu. It's the same for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. It's the same for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Whether they have or they don't, in both the situations, they're always ready to give. They're always ready to give. They always give. Their giving never stops, whether they have or they don't, regardless of that. If we have more, we give more. If we have less, we give less. But we never, a mu'min should never stop giving. So Hazrat Zahra had no food and money. She gave her cloth to Salman,
one of the clothes. Salman took the cloth of Hazrat Zahra Salamul Aleha to Sham'un, the famous rich guy in Medina, as rehan, to just, you know, as a guarantee. He can keep the plot and until the loan is paid back, and they, he is there to borrow the money from this Sham'un guy, some money, and when the loan will be paid back, then Salman can take the cloth back and give it to Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha.
So now he borrowed some money from Sham'un.
He purchases some dates to give to this miskeen person who is next to him.
Before giving some dates to him, Salman thought to himself, Hazrat Zahra just said to me a while ago that Inna lana salasan ma ta'inna. It's 3 days we haven't eaten food. Hasan and Hussein slept without eating food. So this whole dates belong to Hazrat Fatima, because I'm borrowing the money because of her chadar, because of her cloth. That's not ours, that's her food, her money. So let me knock the door of Hazrat Zahra once again and ask her to please take some of the dates for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein.
Salman knocks the door, and Hazrat Zahra, look at the...
Now you realize the azamat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Say, it's easy to give when you have the things, but those Ahlul Bayt, when they don't have in their hand, they're still ready to give away, you know, in the same way for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She replies to Salman, هَذَا شَيْءٌ أَمْضَيْنَاهُ لِلَّهِ لَسْنَ نَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. This is something we have already signed off for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. That means we have already given it for the sake of Allah. We are not going to take nothing back from it.
This is the azamat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha.
Despite the fact that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are hungry, if a sinner like me was there, we could have done 1001 ta'weel and excuses. So what if I take a little bit from that food? This entire food is mine. Isn't it right? What's the big deal about it? My children are also hungry. Isn't it wajib to feed the children in your family? I could have done 1001 excuses to justify. But this is how you see the azamat of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Please say salawat.
There is no attachment towards this dunya. How can
you find, when she is ready to give away the dress of her marriage as she is going for the zifaf, for the rukhsati, when she is going to the house of her husband Amirul Mumin alayhi salam, on her way she finds a beggar and she gives away the dress of her marriage. How much attachments does a bride has towards her own dress?
It's quite
you know, frequently found that brides are, they have so much memories attached to that dress, isn't it right? Now she has zero attachment with any belonging of this dunya. And every attachment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is about her nuraniyat that we are talking about. It's not emotional. She gives away even the bridal dress of hers to the poor person.
So when Prophet had a look towards the jahaziyya, the dowry, unfortunately, nowadays we find that some people are putting huge amounts of demands, isn't it right, from the in-laws, that you have to fulfill this, you have to do that, you have to do this, demanding huge, outrageous amounts of money as mahar. That's not the subject of my discussion. I wish I had time to hold a workshop on the issues of youth and their marriage problems in the West, because we are witnessing skyrocketing rates of divorces in the youth who are raised in America. Skyrocketing rates of divorces.
Because our values are missing in some of the families. We don't understand the values of Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam. Marriage is based on what principles are in Islam. Why was marriage so easy in the time of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, and talaq and divorce was so hard to happen? And why talaq has become so easy and marriage is becoming hard to happen? Exactly opposite of what the Prophet taught. Because of values missing in some of the families. So we find that the jahaziyya
in Arabic, dowry of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha was 16 things worth 63 dirhams only. 63 dirhams is nothing in those days, even according to the lifestyle of those days. That's nothing. It's nothing. And I can challenge that the lifestyle of Hazrat Zahra and the jahaziyya and jihaz and dowry of her was the lowest possible dowry as compared to any human present in their times.
Because their lifestyle was always lower than the lifestyle of anyone else. They were living such a simple lifestyle. The climax of simple lifestyle. They were the role models for us. 63 things, 63 dirhams, value of 16 items. When Prophet had a look at the jihaziyya, jahaz and dowry of Zahra, Prophet cried.
And he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that give barakah to this dowry. Most of it is made of clay. This dowry, most of it which is made of clay, give barakah to it, in other words. He said it once. So this is the azamat of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. And such a lady with that kind of azamat is now, as soon as her father Rasulullah becomes shaheed and he dies away from this dunya, we find that the ummat of Rasulullah is ready to start the zulm on her. And they forgot all those. Their actions reveal, actions speak louder. Their actions are showing as if they are turning, they are turning their blind eyes to all the teachings of the Prophet and all the ahadith that the Prophet has mentioned in the praise of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. Sahih Bukhari, even the one which is printed by the Wahhabi cult of Saudi Arabia,
today it still says this hadith, "Inna Allaha yaghzibu lighazabi Fatima wa yarza liridaha." Even today's Sahih Bukhari mentions that Allah, certainly Allah becomes angry over the anger of Fatima and becomes pleased with her pleasure. So the same ummah is now doing zulm on her. So much zulm happened on her. 75 days or 90 days, two different narrations. She survived for either 75 days after the Prophet or for 90 days.
Two different riwayat. 90 days riwayat is more authentic. Most of our fuqaha and mujtahideen accept that one. Third of Jumadi, As-Saniya is her authentic shahadat. So 90 days according to that narration.
And she was crying. She was in huzn and sorrow. People of Medina come and complain before Imam Ali alayhi salam. And we find that Hazrat Zahra used to go to the maqbara of the Shuhada of Uhud, the graveyard of Hazrat Hamza, who was called Sayyidul Shuhada of those days by Rasulullah.
He was called Sayyidul Hazrat Hamza was called Sayyidul Shuhada by Rasulullah. He was the leader of all the Shuhada at that time. So Hazrat Zahra used to go to the grave of Hazrat Hamza, her uncle, such a great man. And that's where she used to cry. And Imam Ali alayhi salam constructs the Baytul Ahzan for her. The house, the room which we call as the room of sorrows. She used to go with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein to the maqbara of the Shuhada.
So she cried so much. And she himself has said,
Subbat alayya masa'ibun law annaha, Subbat alal ayyam sirna layaliya.
So much masa'ib were befallen on her, that if they had befallen over the days would have been converted into nights. Again, it's immeasurable for our minds to understand how much zulm has been done in that period of time. So this greatest daughter and beloved, most beloved person in the eyes of Rasulullah, that these mal'ain, these mal'oon people come and they burn the door of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi. And it was told to them that Hassan and Hussein are inside this house. It was told to them that they know the daughter of Rasulullah is inside the house. But they don't care. The guy replies back, I don't care. And he burns the door of Hazrat Zahra. And not just that, but he crushes the daughter of Rasulullah between the burning door and the wall of her house. And this caused the miscarriage of Hazrat Muhsin alayhi salam, her baby in the womb, who dies because of this incident. And not just that, but actually Hazrat Zahra herself also dies. She becomes Shahida because of the injuries that happen in this incident. So we find that the pain of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we cannot understand the pain of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We cannot understand the pain of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. She does her wasiyat to her husband to basically don't allow, make a nash for me. That means make a kind of coffin, which is a kind of coffin that is raised high. Hazrat Zahra is so much careful about her hijab. So when the janazah is carried, her body is not shown over the janazah. In old days, they used to just put a cloth over the woman's body, so it was visible over the cloth. She doesn't want that. She asked Amir Mumin to make a coffin so that it is raised over her body. Look at the ghairat and haya of Hazrat Zahra. And she also did the wasiyah to marry with Imama. She towards my children is like me. And she makes her wasiyah that don't allow anyone of those who did zulm on me to participate in her janazah, in other words, because they are the enemies of Allah. So, and carry my janazah in the night when the eyes are sleeping. And the same happened when the news of Hazrat Zahra spread all over in the city of Medina. And the men and the women, the narration says, as they, everybody was crying. Everybody gathered at the home of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And as if the city of Medina is shaking. But so with the cries of the people, so many people came for the ta'ziyat to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Ali was sitting, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam sitting in front of him. And people came and doing the ta'ziyat. And after a while, Abu Zar came out and said to the people that the janazah and taking out of the janazah has been delayed. So the people of Medina dispersed. And after a while, when the night time arrives, according to the wasiyat of Hazrat Zahra, the janazah was taken out. The narration tells us that there were very, very few selected people from Ahlul Bayt and some of the close companions of Amir al-Mumineen only who participated in the janazah. And Imam Ali dig up 7 graves, you know, other than the grave of Hazrat Zahra, so that her grave is not known. So nobody can do zulm on her grave. So even Hazrat Zahra is mazluma. After her shahadat, we don't know the grave. This is one of the things that we will discover in the time of the zuhur of our Imam. So we find that Hazrat Zahra was buried in the middle of the night, and two hands appeared from the grave, which were similar to the hands of Rasulullah, and took the body of Hazrat Zahra comfortably into the grave. But I would like to say that to Hazrat Zahra, that you are a very big mazluma, but at least we find Amir al-Mu'mineen was there to provide the ghusl and kafan to you. And some of the Bani Hashim and close and Muqarrab Ashab were there to participate in your tashyi' of janaza. But let us pay a visit to Karbala. Let us go and see in the day of Ashura, where your son Imam Hussein, Imam Mazloom, his body is lying there in the Maidan of Karbala. And we find there is nobody to provide ghusl and kafan to Mawla Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam. His body is just lying there for 3 days. We find that at least there were some people who were participating in your funeral, but there is nobody to help. Now Hazrat Fidla came and informs Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam that I have a big news for you. And Hazrat Zainab replies back, I have no news big for me. After the shahadat of her brother, there is no news which is big for her. And so Hazrat Fidla says that they are planning to crush the janaza of Imam Hussein under the hooves of the horses. See, all the janaza, all the bodies of the shuhada were taken away. According to that narration, by the people of their tribes, the only janaza which is lying there on the Maidan of Karbala, because there is nobody who can take care of Imam Hussein. There is no one present from the qabila and tribe of Imam Hussein to take care. So this is the only janaza. فَقَامَ عَشْرَةٌ مِّنَ الْفَوَارِسِ 10 of the horsemen are now prepared to crush the janaza. I don't, under the hooves of the horses, I don't know what was the pain, how much was the pain of Hazrat Zainab. We cannot understand the pain of Hazrat Zainab when she is witnessing this crime taking place in front of her eyes. The janaza of her brother is being crushed after her shahad. We cannot understand her pain and huzn. And after the Asr of Ashura, she gathers all the women, all the ladies of Ahlul Haram, and all the yatim and orphan and all the children were gathered. She's now taking care of everyone, but she doesn't find Sakina there. She goes towards the Maqtal to find out Sakina bintul Hussein, the beloved daughter of Mawla Imam Hussein. And she finds Sakina bintul Hussein is lying over the chest of a janaza which does not have the head over it. She takes Sakina bintul Hussein into her lap and asks her that how come you discover this is the janaza of your dad. And Sakina, in other words, Sakina replies, I was calling Baba, and this janaza replied back to me, ilayya ilayya ya bunayya, come towards me my daughter.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wa'khdhul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasara al-Din, wa'khdhul man khadhal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa'hfaz wa'ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin, wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.